This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Should Chris Rock forgive Will Smith for embarrassing him like that and smacking him in front of the world?
Yep. News from the Academy, what they're now saying about actor Will Smith after that stunning moment at the Oscars.
You holding a grudge is like drinking poison, hoping the other person dies. So every time, you know, someone annoyed you, you put it in that bag. Got grudge in that bag, it becomes so heavy. But the majority, it's not justifiable for people to cut off.
You have so many studies also, psychologists, psychiatrists talk about, you know, this being a detriment to your health.
Ya Allah, I forgive that person. So Ya Allah, would you forgive me?
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. Welcome to another episode of The Deen Show. Now, my next guest, Sheikh Majid Mahmoud, is not only a mechanical engineer, but he also has a bachelor in Islamic jurisprudence from El Medina International University, a master's in business administration. And he is here with us to not talk about business, to not talk about engineering, but to talk about the deen, forgiveness, particularly because it's the month of mercy, the month of Ramadan. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How you doing, Sheikh?
Pretty good, alhamdulillah. How about yourself?
Alhamdulillah, good, good. How's everything there in Detroit?
Yes, sir, alhamdulillah. Everything is well. How's Ramadan so far with you?
So far, so good, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
So you have a video that really affected a lot of people's lives, you know, for the positive. You know, people who watched this, it was labeled Forgive and Forget. So some people weren't forgiven and they weren't forgetting, but they watched this video and they were able to do both. Do you remember this video?
Yes, I do. Alhamdulillah.
Tell us a little bit about it. What are some of the things that you talked about in there? And the importance, you know, how this connects with Islam, the importance of this topic, forgiveness, and letting things go.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, when it comes to forgiveness, Islam is very, very, very big on it. So much so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells people a formula. He says, would you not want God to forgive you? So for you to get God's forgiveness, there's multiple ways. There's me asking for forgiveness. There's me giving in charity. There is me going for Hajj, right? But one of the easiest and fastest and strongest ways to get Allah's forgiveness is when we forgive others. SubhanAllah. So that's a deal Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has even revealed a verse regarding it. So forgiving is something very healthy to our own selves. I'm not telling people to be selfish, but when you think of forgiveness, think about yourself. Don't worry about the other person. Think about you. Forgetting, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. But when you forgive and you don't put so much attention to the topic, it helps you forget. Because if you have that grudge and you continue to talk about it, you continue to text about it, you continue to bring this topic up in every gathering, it will be very difficult for you to forget. May Allah make it easier for all of us. So forgiveness, definitely.
Let's go ahead and give some real examples. I don't know if you have some stories to share, something that was in the news. So if I ask you, should, and this is just to hit home, like a real example now, and if these two were to accept Islam, let's say they were Muslim or whatnot, and should Chris Rock forgive Will Smith for embarrassing him like that and smacking him in front of the world?
Yes, that's a very good question. You know, in Islam, alhamdulillah, we have multiple options. So we know an eye for an eye. So if Chris would like to slap Will back, you know, that's an option. Right? The other one. In Islam, option two is that I don't want anything from the other person today. You know, Will, I forgive you. Not forgive you, sorry. I will let you go. I will not file a lawsuit against you. I will not file criminal charges against you. But I want to meet you on a day of judgment where I will take your good deeds. So that's option two. Option three, you don't slap back. You do not wait to meet Will on the day of judgment. But the third one would be, I don't want anything from the other side. I want only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But how does that make sense? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the third, and that's for the elite. May Allah make us all of the elite. Amen. Number three, there are people, فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Allah says, whoever forgives and reconcile, their reward is on Allah. So Allah keeping it open like that indicates what? Indicates that the reward is unmatched and it will be equivalent to the greatness of the king. So I'll give you an example. If Chris is being told, Chris, I promise, Chris Rock, being told, Chris, I promise we will give you a deal that we will never reject. Now, who's saying that? Let's say a very famous act like Will or whatever, or the whole Academy. So Chris will know that whatever check I will get is equivalent to the wealth the other person has, correct?
Yeah.
So here, Allah is the best of examples. He tells you, if you forgive, I will take care of you. And when Allah, the King of all kings, says, I'll take care of you, then He will take care of you. SubhanAllah. Because in dunya, Brother Eddie, sometimes people say, I don't care how much they pay me, right?
Yeah.
I will never forgive. But with Allah, there is a payment that you will be able to forgive.
Let's go a little bit deeper in that, because now people can go ahead and try to equate that with some kind of drama or some kind of pain, suffering that they're going through in life. But okay, so this is a real situation that happened where you have Will Smith and then smacking Chris Rock in front of the world. So now his options, according to Islam, is that he can, in front of everybody, now get smacked the same way. What was the other one? Smack Will Smith could smack him back if he allowed it, right?
Yeah.
And then the second one, what was the second one again? The
second one is that I want to meet you on the day of judgment.
Yeah.
And take equivalent to the smack in good deeds.
Okay, so then, but did he forgive him for that, or he's...
It's like postponing it.
Okay. Yeah. And then the third one is just like he didn't even apologize or anything, and he just lets it go, and then he expects his reward from God Almighty Allah.
Yes. And obviously it would be better to verbalize that if the other person, let's say in Will in this situation, forget Will. Chris Rock, he can ignore Will, for example. Like, you know what, I don't want anything from this guy, I don't want to talk about this situation, I'm past this moment. And I want the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay, but let's say in this situation is Chris Rock, is Will Smith saying, look, I'm sorry, forgive me. Is he trying to make it right? Or this is where it's just neutral, he's not doing anything?
No, it can be neutral, and it can even what's his name? Will can be like, you know what? I forgive you, Chris. Because Will forgiving Chris does not mean Chris.
You mean Chris forgiving Will?
Yeah, two different things.
Can you say that last part again?
So I said, Will forgiving Chris does not mandate Chris to accept the forgiveness, and does not mandate that Chris forgives back Will, or for whatever reason, for the joke, for example. Actually, maybe he should for that joke, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. But let's go deeper here now, because we all of us, back to what you were saying, that if you, that verse in the Quran where God Almighty is saying, look, if you want me to forgive you, you forget others, restraining your anger, forgiving, you know, the power of that, because we all have sins. And if we want it, if you don't forgive, for instance, and you're like, you know, you're saying, no, rotten hell, and I'm going to hold on to this until the day of judgment. Look, can Allah, and let's say that Abdullah, Muhammad, Fatima, Will Smith, whoever the case, now that person is not just saying, you know, look, they're justifying their actions or anything, but let's say that the person is really seeking forgiveness, you know, that they're trying to make it right.
Yes.
Will, and now they're going above and beyond. Now, as a believer, will you be opened up to now because you're holding on tight, you know, let's say family's getting involved, and families, and you got your parents and in-laws, whoever the case, you know, and this is affecting them too. It's not just the one person. So, and maybe you can give some live examples where you got sister and sister fighting, brother and brother. Absolutely. And now you have the one sister doesn't want to forgive her brother, or the brother doesn't want to forgive the brother. This is affecting mother. This is affecting father. And one of them is holding on so tight to this, and the other one is trying to make amends, trying to, you know, keep the family together. You know, what happens if you go for option two or three, but are you setting yourself up tomorrow that you are going to be put... you're going to be pulled out of line, and you also are going to be questioned for some of the things, many of the things that you did against Allah, many of the things that you did against others. Talk about that.
Exactly. You know, if I understood your question correctly, it's a scenario that happens sometimes is when someone, let's say A wrongs B.
Yeah.
Then A wants to apologize. B, please forgive me. B, I promise I won't do it again. But B is just so stubborn and will just never accept the apology. Yes. Will never accept the forgiveness. And this is where it gets really problematic. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, when there's two people fighting, it's not befitting for 3 days to pass by and no one says salam. It's not befitting. And you're 3 days a deadline. You guys have to start saying salam. And the best of the two is on who starts with assalamu alaikum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet of Allah tells us there's a day of the week in which Allah tells, I forgive all people except two, mushrik, the one who worships someone other than Allah, and the one who has an issue, mushahana, between them and their brother and sister, a conflict of some sort. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they are justified, it's understandable, right? But let's be very frank, Brother Eddie, sometimes they're not justified. Sometimes they are people actually, you're even embarrassed to say why they're not talking to their brother and sister, or why you guys are not talking about it. I don't want to bring it up. Sometimes because it's not that big of a deal. Sometimes we take it way too personal. Sometimes it's the ego. But sometimes, yes, it's understandable. Okay, the question comes, when do I not forgive someone? Some of the scholars say, you do not forgive someone when you think that your forgiveness to them will grow them in their oppression. Some people, every time you forgive them, they just continue to get worse and worse. These people are not worth it.
Example, but, can you give an example?
Sometimes, let's say, for example, someone is a criminal. All right, every time he's out of prison, as an example, very generic, right? I know there's some mental situations and so on. The guy commits, let's say, forget prison. Let's say at work. Someone doesn't show up to the meeting. Oh, I'm so sorry, boss. I will be early next time. Next time. He's not early. He's even later. You forgive him. So the project is not doing well. People are being harmed. This man can no longer be forgiven because now it's harming you, society as a whole. You cannot keep forgiving that person. You have to be very wise. But that's not usually the common case. Obviously, it happens. But the bottom line, your default is to seek to forgive. And that's what you aim for.
What can happen now if you set yourself up that, because obviously if that beautiful example you gave where now Allah tells you, look, I got your back. I got it taken care of. You forgive. And don't you want Allah to forgive you? And then Allah can let you go on many things. But are you setting yourself up that now you can end up being held for account on many things because you are stubbornly resistant to showing more mercy and forgiving?
I see. It may depend, for example, on the case of rights, for example. Mm-hmm. So, that's why there's these three options. And forgiveness, to the most part, forgiveness is ihsan level. It's not an obligation. Keep that in mind, case by case situation. Allah says in the Quran, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. Allah says, let them forgive and let them reconcile. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ. Do you not love for Allah to forgive? But let me just tell you the story behind that really quickly. Because I believe that most of people, may Allah protect us all, Ya Rab, whoever is watching, whoever is hearing us, I hope and I pray that you will never go through the following. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq's daughter, Aisha radiallahu anha, she's being accused of a major sin. This hadith is in al-Bukhari, authentic narration. She's being accused of committing a major sin. So she's the daughter of the greatest man after the Prophet. And she is the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what is being said about her is a major sin. May Allah protect us, Ya Rab. So after all of this, the man who was accusing her, his name is Mistah. Mistah was the cousin and the relative of Aisha radiallahu anha. When it was shown that Aisha was innocent, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq says, Wallahi, I will never give the monthly allowance to Mistah. Why is that? Because the Prophet Abu Bakr used to always give the allowance because Mistah was a poor relative, faqir. So he used to give him, you know what, I'll help you out financially. So he said, he talks about my daughter in a way that is false. After all this, I'm never going to support him financially. Because of that, Allah revealed a verse and said, وَلَا يَأْتَلِي. Let not those with money, with power, and so on, withhold their money and support from one, two, three, several groups, and Mistah being one of them, the relatives. When Abu Bakr, he heard this verse, then Allah ends that verse by saying, do you not want for Allah to forgive you? Then Abu Bakr says, Wallahi, I love for Allah to forgive me. Then he said, I will never stop giving him the allowance back. Now, sometimes these moments, Eddie, of pain, of, you know what, someone being, you know, oppressed and so on, and they have the chance to hit back. They have a chance to file a lawsuit, for example. But they say, you know what, I want to forgive. And you have that power. I want you to know that this is a deal that Allah does not give anyone. I know it sounds a bit strange, but it's a moment of pain that you have almost like the world in your hands. This is an opportunity that many people do not get. I got wronged, and I have the option to punish, and I have the option to forgive. It's like a gold, it's a treasure in your hand. What will you do?
SubhanAllah.
Wallahi, it's a treasure. Wallahi, it's a treasure. And I know
you're saying forgiveness is a treasure?
Absolutely, it's a treasure.
You have so many studies also, psychologists, psychiatrists talk about, you know, this being a detriment to your health when you hold on 100%. To grudges, when you don't let things go.
100%. Absolutely, 100%. There's a very famous statement. Not too long ago, I read it. It's a very famous one. It says, you holding a grudge is like drinking poison, hoping the other person dies.
Mm.
Many times the grudge that we're holding, Brother Eddie, the other person doesn't even know about it, doesn't even care. He moved on, that loser, that person. And you're the one who's in pain. So it's for your own sake. That's why I started the talk. Wallahi, for your own sake. I'm not telling you about this person.
You compare it in your talk. And I still remember because you gave an analogy. And I want everybody to watch. Put your name in YouTube and put forgive and forget. And you talk about, you give an example of a book bag and there's bricks in the book bag.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I got a bag for you right here. Right? You know, whenever we have all that pain, we fill up the bag and we have it, we carry it. It's become so heavy on us. So every time, you know, someone annoyed you, you put it in that bag, got a grudge in that bag, it becomes so heavy. Then you have shoulder problems, back problems. And who's suffering? You're suffering, not the other person. So what I suggest is that you open up that bag and you start getting rid of the weight. Oh, that's my cousin, right, who hurt me. Okay, and that's my, I don't know, aunt who made fun of me. Right, and you just let go, and it becomes so light, and you can move on in life and proceed and progress in life. And I encourage if we walk with upside down bags, and just keep it open.
That's a good one.
Just keep it open. Wallah, nothing is worth it, brother. Yeah. Nothing.
There's a hadith in Muslim. Can you elaborate on this hadith where the Prophet talks about the people's deeds being presented before Allah on Mondays and Thursdays, and then every slave of Allah is granted forgiveness if he does not associate anything with Allah, but the person in whose heart there's rancor against his brother will not be pardoned. And with regard to them, it is said twice, hold these two until they reconcile. Can you go ahead and elaborate on this? What does it mean towards the end? Hold them until they reconcile.
Yes, excellent. So every Monday and Thursday, Allah.
And this obviously, this is for women. This is for all Muslims. This is not just for men.
Men, women, all people. Young, old, male, female, all people. So for this, for the believers, they think, oh, I'm forgiven. No, there's one more condition. Even if you say, La ilaha illallah. And that condition is for you not to have this mushahana, this, you know, hatred between your brothers and sisters. You have this severe, unacceptable dislike. You have this issue, the animosity. No, Allah says, let them hold on. And hatta yastaliha, until they reconcile. So your forgiveness is on a hold. Wallahi, imagine, brother.
That's scary.
We fast Ramadan. We give in charity. We pray qiyam. All that stuff. Ya Allah, forgive us. It's on hold. All that work, it's on hold. Because you are abandoning your brother and sister for something that you don't want to face Allah with. Because you know it's not that to that point. May Allah forgive us and protect us.
Ameen. Yeah, these are some really things. You know, there's so many, ayahs, verses in the Quran. You know, there's so much. It's just like where you're at with your deen, I guess, because you've had people, you've seen stories of Muslims, actually, they've gone to court and the person who killed, I'm sure you've seen this, has been highlighted on the news, and then someone went and killed. I mean, this is just another level, obviously. Yeah.
It's optional. That's optional. It's
optional, so you take that example of someone, a Muslim in court, someone killed their son, and then they forgive them, right? Yes. High level, right? And then, but then you have family feuds. You just have people. Then you have people, family, you know, families fighting family over, you know, certain things, you know, and the list goes on. There's dramas of the day, right? And they still, it's Ramadan has passed a year ago, another 2 years, and then a third year, and it just keeps going, and they're still in the same place. How do you motivate people to let go of this rancor, to move on?
There's two points, I think, of motivation. But before I start the motivation, I want to remind people that when you forgive someone, it doesn't mean you have to be best friends again. That's something important. People think, oh, I have to be, you know, boys again. We hang out always again. Not necessarily. Halas, you know what? You have your way. I have my way. But my heart, inshallah, I'll work on being empty towards you. I will move on in life. You move on in life. It doesn't mean you have to be best friends. So people get confused with that. No, you say, salamu alaykum, alaykum salam. You have dinner together as a family. Especially if it's family, a relative. It's very sensitive. Right? Because it's not a one-man show, Brother Eddie. when you are having this issue with a person, let's say two sisters have an issue, the whole family will not have iftar here anymore.
Yeah.
Right? And then you have to realize that, and so especially if this is a type of hate, may Allah protect us, especially if it's the type of hate and grudge, like you're not supposed to go to that person's house. Wallahi, just recently, actually in two locations, one in, where was I? In Massachusetts, and the other one it was in Michigan. Two different families from different backgrounds and cultures. They say, my father had a fight with his sister. And I want to say, Ramadan Mubarak, make dua for my aunt. So I say, okay, text your aunt. Then she says, but if my dad knows, he will cut us off. Subhanallah. So now the bubble of the issue is no longer limited to you. And now you're actually growing it, which is in an almost a pretty much unacceptable way.
I mean, that's a whole different issue now. The branches of the tree, because family's all connected. Now the children seeing this.
Exactly.
And now this affecting them. But let's say you have a father or a mother. Let's say the father saying to the two sisters who are fighting, they say, look, my wish is, and this is the father's dying wish, he's about to pass. I want to see you two together. I want to see you two make peace. Now you have another element, obedience to the parents. How do you reconcile? How do you deal with this?
Allahu Akbar. Wallahi.
Dying wish of the father, and he wants the two children, you know, the two sisters, for example, to come together to have iftar together with him, right? They don't have to be best friends. They don't have to hang out all the time. It's the father's dying wish.
Subhanallah, brother.
You have real cases like this. People holding on, right? They're holding on.
Man, you know, if that sister, that daughter, in this example that you gave, if she accepts, she doesn't just get the reward of Allah's forgiveness, but she gets the reward of the greatest act of worship of respecting parents. Mm. Double dipped.
Double dip, huh?
Double dip.
The stock goes up double.
Absolutely.
More than crypto?
A little bit.
Much more.
You know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says there are certain deeds that the side effects, positive or negative, are never as fast as being good to your parents. You know, how fast, for example, someone can commit a sin and they won't see the effect of it until, let's say, for example, 5 years later. But there's certain sins, no, you don't wait 5 years. Right away it comes. Allah knows exactly when. And of those good deeds and sins are the way we deal with our parents in terms of respect and disrespect. And subhanAllah, sometimes the reward comes right away. So I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I know there are examples like that. I know the example that, subhanAllah, may Allah forgive us, is that the mom tells the two brothers, two of her sons, there's a story of a mom very upset that two of her sons are not talking to one another. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I try to talk to them, and they're trying to kind of loosen up, like, I can't stand him, whatever the case is. But what do we know, Brother Eddie, from the past? We have to hear stories of the past. When father dies, what happens? They regret. After it's too late. Dad has passed away. I wish we reconciled. I wish we did that. I wish we did this. It's too late. Right? But alhamdulillah, the door of Allah, of repentance, is always open, inshallah. But why wait? That's why Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, he says something very interesting. He says, avoiding a sin is better than repentance. Right? Because there's a sin coming your way. Don't say, I'll commit it and I'll see what happens. If things go wrong, I'll make tawbah. That's so much work.
Yeah.
Just avoid it. It's a lot easier.
This is a great example. So you have the parents wishing for the two brothers to reconcile, but then the parent, was it the father that died? And then you're in a state of regret for the rest of your life?
Rest of your life, right? Now we have to also realize, because we have to also be fair, sometimes the level of the abuse or oppression is at a level that Allah accepts that there's some a boycott, but that's an extreme exception. Some people, they use this whole boycott, let go, cut off, cancel very loosely. I'll be honest with you, very loosely sometimes. And when you hear the Sahaba, yes, there was some boycotting. There was Ka'b ibn Malik was boycotted for 50 nights, but he returned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that's not a common thing, it's a very extreme situation. Yeah.
But it's you now to go ahead and, just like you go to a doctor, you know, you go to a nutritionist for health, functional medicine, doc, whatever the case for your body. But now you're going to be figuring these things out, making your own fatwas, right? Yeah. You go to a qualified spiritual doctor. You go to a scholar in Islam and you talk about the situation. Does this justify that, what I'm doing, separating my family? instead of you, because if it's left to us, Shaitan's going to keep you away from the scholars, keep you away, you know, from knowledgeable people, and you're just going to go ahead and be in your little bubble and make up your own answers to those the things that Shaitan is putting in your mind, entertaining you, right? Stay away from this person, keeping you away from people of knowledge. So how important is it if you're in that situation that you go around people, you talk to people of knowledge, you know what I mean? And you don't just make, you make up the fatwa on your own.
Yeah, actually, mashallah, Adi, that's a phenomenal point that you brought up, honestly. This is a highlight. What you just said was a highlight. Because many times we do not know, and to the most part, the majority of the stories that I know of, I'm sure there's other stories, and I know personally other specific stories, but the majority, it's not justifiable for people to cut off each other.
Okay, repeat that again. So most of the stories are not
justified. Most of the stories that I'm aware of two brothers, two sisters, two people not talking to one another is not justifiable.
Doesn't Shaitan usually blow it up? Like to you, it's like, wow, this is like, you know, someone just kidnapped, murdered my child, and he's pumped it up so much. But then when you go and sit with someone, you'd be like, man, you're going to extreme. This is like,
I say your point? Exactly. Why is your point such an important highlight? Because I encourage every person who's maybe watching us has an ounce of faith. Verify, be honest with yourself. Verify, is my scenario one of those that it's okay to cut off the other person? Just ask a qualified imam scholar in local area. Just be honest with yourself. He tells you, oh, your case is extreme. I agree with you. Actually file a lawsuit. Sure. But just go, as Brother Eddie mentioned, there's people special in this and special in that and special in this. Ask a person of the deen who understands some guidelines of the uhuwa, the brotherhood, sisterhood, what's right and what's wrong, halal and haram, and have them assist you in your situation within their knowledge and within their capacity. 100%.
What do you do when somebody's kind of resisting that? They don't want a third party involved, or they're resisting going, and the other person, you know, it's not just that black and white. You have situations where you have family disputes and one has their side of the story, the other one has their other side, you know, but now they're, one is like, let's go sit, you find the person, let's go sit and let them arbitrate, let them tell us, let them show from the Quran and Sunnah, but the other one is like, just, you know, not wanting to do that.
See, Islam really pushes towards sulh, reconcile. So show Allah that you're trying. Show Allah that you're trying to study situation. See what options that you have. And it's strongly encouraged. You know, we have a case, Brother Eddie, where a father of some children is having an issue with his ex-wife.
Yeah.
So his whole children are in the middle. Mm. So they're trying to say, let's bring an imam. He's like, I don't want to talk to no imam. Let's bring, from another, from so-and-so individual. No, okay, how about a common person between us? No, okay, bring your own family. I don't want. This stubbornness will not just go in vain like that. Allah may hold that person accountable. Someone is trying to reconcile. Someone is trying to fix things. You should attempt to see what's the matter. What offer? Things will work out, inshallah. And don't think that's the issue. Some people think if I forgive, it will happen to me again. That's Shaitan's tactic. If I forgive, I will look weak. Mm. If I forgive, I'm a loser. No, Allah, if you forgive, Allah will honor you, inshallah. If you forgive, your status will be respected by the whole family, inshallah. If you forgive, your value goes up in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan will make you think it's low beneath you. No, it's not. No, it's not.
That's the beauty of our deen. It has answers to all these issues, problems, and that's our deficiency as human beings. We make mistakes, we're sinners, right? We sin by day and night, but we have a merciful Lord, and inshallah that we can learn from these things. And the other things before we conclude, just want to touch upon the power of words. You know, it reminds me of a hadith where the Prophet had said that a slave of Allah will utter one word and not think of the ramifications of it, and that person will end up falling so deep. I'm paraphrasing the hadith. Yeah. I fall so deep in the hellfire. But on the contrary, you know, utter one good word and Allah can elevate their status, right? Can you talk about that? Because sometimes in these fights, people are calling someone munafiq, you know, exiling them from the deen, you know what I mean? Yeah. And things just get, have you seen these situations? And then they're not really reflecting on the power, the words, and you are forgetting that the angel on the right is writing and you're going to be held accountable in front of Allah. And these words are heavy.
Excellent. Let me give you one example. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, if someone tells their brother, akhahu ya kafir, if someone tells their brother, ya kafir, faqad ba'a bihi ahaduma, then one of them has to be a kafir. This is that one word. Oh, you know what, bro? You're a kafir, bro. So this means one of you has to be a kafir. Either you are right, they are a kafir, or that they are not a kafir, so it goes against that person who said it.
It bounces back to you.
It bounces back. One word, right? Another one. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a long hadith, I'll summarize it very quickly. Someone tells another person who was sinning, he's committing a major sin, like straight up, clearly, you know, haram, you know, it's visible to the people. So the person tells him, you know what? Allah will never forgive you. You're never going to go to heaven. The Prophet says in an authentic hadith, the angel of death comes, takes the soul of both people, the one who was committing the sin and the one who told the other person, you're going to go to hell. When they went to meet Allah, Allah told the sinner, go to heaven due to my mercy. And the one who was judging, oh, he's going to hell, Allah asks him, did I share with you unseen knowledge? Allah's rebuking him. Did I tell you a list of names who's going to heaven and who's going to hell? Allah does not wait for the response, and Allah tells the angels, take that person and throw him into hell. One word. Oh, he's going to hell, bro, for sure, bro. He's going to go to Jahannam. May Allah protect us. And that's your brother and sister in the masjid, your believing brother and sister in the family. May Allah protect us. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? إِذَا غَضِبَ أَحَدُكُمْ, if one of you is angry, remain silent. Just remain silent, cool down a little bit. Remain silent. How many times, Brother Eddie, if you send an email on Gmail, okay, I just sent you to your admin an email. They give me about 10 seconds. You want to undo the email? Right? It's always there. Undo about 10 seconds. And sometimes like undo because they want to tell you, sure you want to send this? And we learned in the corporate world, give it about 24 hours. I remember one person, I was so angry at this person online. I was so angry at him because he messed up so bad. I wrote the email and said, you know what, Majid, just keep the email in draft. I kept it in draft. I did not delete the email. Come the next day and read it. And this was personal. I woke up next day, went to my draft, read it. I'm like, Alhamdulillah, I did not send it.
Wow, 24 hours later, you were like, Alhamdulillah, I didn't send it.
It would have been a mess. Though I'm not, the wrong was on him, but he messed up. I'm like, you know what? Let me address it differently. SubhanAllah. But if one is angry, remain silent. That's one of the keys.
Yeah. All right. I want everyone again to watch Forgive and Forget. Type in Majid Mahmood on YouTube. It's something that I think everyone should watch. And in closing, tell us what else is Ramadan? It's the month of mercy, so many blessings. Is it better now to let it go, even especially during Ramadan, and show that mercy during Ramadan?
Oh, absolutely, Eddie. Absolutely. Eddie, you said, is it especially in Ramadan? Of course. Because in Ramadan, a umrah, how long does Ramadan take? 2-3 hours. A umrah in Ramadan, the Prophet says, authentic hadith, is equal to Hajj. Umrah in Ramadan. So that means that good deeds in Ramadan are multiplied in ways that no one can imagine. So imagine you choose this month, and what a great month it is to choose. To say, you know what? Ramadan 2022, inshallah, a new page, that person's forgiven. Because the next time that person says, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni, oh Allah, you love to forgive, you're the most forgiving, so please forgive me. The greatest dua in Ramadan, you know, inshallah, Allah will forgive and Allah will accept because of what you did and forgiveness in Ramadan.
So you can bank on that. Let's say you don't know, you've done some major sins, some major crimes with Allah. Just imagine like you're wanted by the FBI, by the CIA, or the sheriff, you know, to come to get you, Doug the bounty hunter, whatever the case. But now because you showed this mercy and forgiveness, you did such. Now that's like a jail, get out of jail free card for some of the major crimes.
You can
bank on this. Say, ya Allah, this was heavy on me. Now you go ahead and for the sake of family, for the sake of, you know, unity, you forgave. You can go ahead and use this for Allah to forgive you for many of the crimes you've done.
Absolutely. That person got an opportunity that maybe most people on the earth will never get. It's a jackpot. It's in your hand. How will you use
it? Why would you not take that?
Why would he not take that? That's why the two ways, the two steps about, you know, being able to forgive. Number one, realize the lowliness of this dunya. This dunya is not worth a penny. No, literally not worth a penny. It's not in the form of an exaggeration. It's not an exaggeration. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he passed by a dead goat. So then he told the Sahaba, who would like to have this dead goat for a dirham? Dirham like a dollar. And that goat was dead and flies and the ear was cut off. So the Sahaba said, oh, the companions, we don't want, O Prophet of Allah. So the Prophet said, who would take it for one dirham? So the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, we will not take it even if it was for free.
Wow.
Now the Prophet said, Wallahi, he does not have to say Wallahi, but he's emphasizing. He says, I swear to God, the value of this world is lesser than the value of this dead, filthy goat is to you.
SubhanAllah.
And we're killing over each other and we're cutting each other. It's not worth it. So think of the dunya being lowly and think of the reward being high. These two is what will help you, inshallah. Dunya is cheap, akhirah is expensive.
SubhanAllah. And the more you put Jannah, the more you put the akhirah in front of you, the more the dunya becomes smaller, we see.
Absolutely. And
the problems of the dunya.
Yeah, Eddie, one dip in Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who's watching me right now, may have the most miserable life, may have the most difficult life. I share with you this one hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a man or a woman who has been suffering, the worst individual's lifestyle ever, pain, struggle, sickness, death in the family, no money, you name it, the whole package, will be dipped one dip in Jannah, one dip, like a Dairy Queen. You know Dairy Queen, the brother Eddie, the ice cream, yeah. One dip. Then that person will be asked, have you ever seen any hardship in your life? That person will not say, yes, but I don't care. That person will say, I don't know what you're talking about. Will not even recognize, like, what do you mean? And that's the most miserable person. One dip in Jannah. SubhanAllah. So the one who is being hurt, and you have the chance to retaliate, why not forgive?
A side note, it had me thinking, real situation where you had people who are breaking ties of kinship, and they were keeping this person, they weren't reconciling. And next thing you saw, Allahu Alam, Allah knows best, but in their own home, you saw discord. Also, you have it affecting you in ways that it can come to you in other ways where now affects your own children, and you see like, wow, can this be a ramification of sometimes these things that we're not letting go of?
That especially is possible when the one is cutting off for such reasons and such issues and growing it out of proportion. It's not banning from this person to visit that person because that person is angry at me, and you make the circle bigger. And so even just, let's think about it, as you mentioned, Brother Eddie, let the kids learn from the parents, right? Because you tell your two kids, hey, forgive your brother who took your crayon. So you forgive your brother who took your car.
Wow. So this is like, you know, we often give the example like, you know, it's smoking. You're smoking and tell your kid not to smoke, but you're smoking. But now Take it to a higher level. You're not forgiving, but you're telling your kid to forgive. How are they supposed to learn from you?
Yeah, so all these things that we're saying, dunya is being cheap, akhirah is being rewarding, Let your kids learn from you, your parents will be happy. It's a bundle of reward and benefit that only Allah is aware of. And there's a story of one of the scholars, he went to someone who gave, and he gave him a gift. Mm-hmm. He said, what's the gift for? He said, I heard that you were backbiting me. Mm-hmm. Right? So though it's painful, but he said, now I know it's an opportunity for me to take good deeds.
Yes.
As an example, right? So The point being here, the moral of the story is that how you're able to see moments of pain as moments of gain.
See moments of pain as moments of gain.
Yes. So it's a painful moment, but you can gain so much out of it.
And you don't want to be the one, like you said earlier, who's drinking poison, waiting for the other person to die. That's like holding on to that grudge.
Yes.
Not forgiving.
It's not worth it.
SubhanAllah. All right. Anything else you want to leave us with before we conclude?
What's today's date?
Last piece of advice for those people. Now you got, they're tuning in. They're like, man, I just hate. And these are, let's say, blood brothers, blood sisters. And they're sitting down. Now their opportunity. You know what I mean? They shook off shaitan. They might've just finished prayer and now they're listening. What advice do you have for them?
a man goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment and he sees another person, the other person wronged them. So Allah tells the person that they can basically take the good deeds because of the wronging. So the man who did the wrong says, I don't have good deeds to give you, I ran out. So then Allah shows a mansion, a palace, a place in paradise for the one who was wronged. He says, look at this. So the one who was wronged says, to which prophet does this paradise belong to? Then Allah says, the man yamlik al-thaman, the one who can afford it is the one who gets it. So the man says, and who in the world can afford it? He said, you can afford it. He said, me? I can afford this palace, this beautiful Jannah? He said, how, ya Allah? By your forgiving your brother.
Allahu Akbar, subhanAllah. That's
deep. You can afford it. It's something that you would think only for prophets, but you can afford it by forgiving that man or that woman. So don't lose that offer. And getting this, ya Eddie, brother Eddie, if this was the offer in Akhirah, then what's the offer if it was done in Dunya? Right? Early bird prices now. Yalla, bismillah.
We need these heart softeners. You know, the dunya, a lot of times the hearts become hard and they need to be soft.
This is the month, inshallah. I pray to Allah, whoever is watching, may Allah ease our hearts. May Allah soften it. May Allah make us focus, keep our eyes on the prize and forgive in hopes that Allah will forgive us. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. And I remember, I'll end with this statement, Brother Eddie. One of the scholars, some say it's Abu Hanifa, some say it's Uthman bin Affan, regardless, he was wronged so bad. And he made a deal with Allah. He said, ya Allah, that person who wronged me, I forgive them. So ya Allah, please forgive me. He's a smart, he's a genius. Oh Allah, I forgive that. You see how he started? Ya Allah, I forgive that person. So ya Allah, would you forgive me? Just go to Allah and remember the sins that you have and know that one of the strongest ways to get it erased is by forgiving someone else for what they've done. May Allah forgive us all. Ameen.
Ameen. Ameen. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Be with us here on the Deen Show again. May Allah bless you. Reward you. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. And that was some great advice. So what should Will Smith and Chris Rock do? Well, the first thing is, because on the Day of Judgment, they're going to have bigger problems to worry about. I think they should be first and foremost seeking to know what is the true purpose of life, and who best to tell us than the creator of life, the creator of humanity, the one who sent the prophets and messengers, who warned of the day of judgment, paradise and the hellfire, and called people. They all called people. The last and final messenger sent to mankind, Prophet Muhammad, who's a brother to Jesus, Moses, Abraham, and all the messengers. They came with the same message of calling humanity to worship one and only one God, the creator alone, not his creation, to be morally upright. And we have all that encompassed in Islam, submission to the will of God Almighty. And then everything else will fall in place. So we'll have bigger problems to worry about. But for us now, those who are living Islam, forgiveness is a key. You don't want to be that person who's drinking poison, waiting for the other person to die. You don't want to be raising your hands and your dua is not getting accepted because now you are cutting off ties of kinship. You're disobeying your parents. And you're going above and beyond for revenge. Hatred is eating away at your heart. And it's going to be something that affects not only you, but your family and all those down the line. But you have a chance now to see the value as your beautiful example. What's the value of this dunya? At the end of the day, what is it worth? So work together. Work out the problems. Do it for the sake of Allah. That beautiful dua, O Allah, I forgive them, so forgive me. Because that's the ultimate purpose, is to get the mercy and forgiveness from Allah, the creator of the heavens and earth. And how are we going to get that forgiveness if we're not being those who have mercy on others and we're also looking at the bigger picture and we're being forgiving? All right, so that's it. All right, hopefully this is a benefit. We'll see you next time. Subscribe if you haven't already. Support us here on the Deen Show. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. Cannot leave without giving you a gift. If you're not yet Muslim and you're tuning in to see what these Muslims are talking about and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeenshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. And if you like this episode of the Deen Show, like this video, share this video far and wide, and support us on our Patreon page so we can continue this work. Thank you for tuning in. peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.